You know, every Wednesday we get caught up with Marty Hawk. It's been a couple weeks since we've talked to the county councilwoman. And, well, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Marty, how are you?
I am probably 5 pounds heavier than I was when I spoke with you last, because it's been a great time with my daughter here, and she loves to be in the kitchen and baking and helping make wonderful meals, and we have really had a good time in the kitchen. Now it'll be time for us to cut back on the amount we are consuming, but it's been a great time. And she won't be leaving until Saturday, so
we've had a really long... That's good. Is her Southwest flight delayed that long? No, that's a bad joke.
She is Southwest. So I'm glad she wasn't scheduled to go back earlier, or she would have been caught up in that mess. So what a mess that was.
Oh, and is it gone? Is it over with? Let's hope so, because, wow, this isn't going to be the last time we have some bad weather that slows some things down. But the great news is your daughter obviously got to see you or participate in the swearing-in process on New Year's Day.
Oh, she did. Both of my daughters were there and my son-in-law, and it was really a very special time for it. It was just a very, very special time for us. What a crowd. I mean, the meeting room was absolutely full, and there were people out on either side waiting for their turn to go in with their families. So it was well attended by so many. And something that was different that I don't recall ever seeing before is that all the law enforcement from the sheriff's office were lined up there inside, and then they went outside and did swearing in with them, took separate pictures of all the different shifts and so forth. I was able to get a picture with the third shift, but I didn't get down there quick enough to get pictures of others, and their families. And of course, you want to thank the law enforcement officers that serve, but you also want to have an opportunity to say thank you to families, because, boy, their life changes so much just to be a part of supporting that law enforcement officer.
Well, did you see the incredible story from last night?
Well, and if you want to remind me what it was, because we didn't get in until late, and we've just got back in again today. So
the story that broke that I saw earlier today on social media at 11:50 last night, a Monroe County Sheriff's officer was hit head on, and they have the dashboard video at CBS4Indy.com. It's thankfully one was hurt severely in this, but. Again, a car was putting the flashing lights on. The sheriff deputy came up on it from the other direction and was slowing down to see what the problem was. And coming around the back of this Jeep on a double yellow line, a Honda Civic, bam-o, right into the grill of the sheriff's deputy. The person driving that Civic is arrested with charges of operating while intoxicating and aggressive driving. Thank goodness nobody was hurt. But yes, they put their lives on the line every day, and that's just another example of that.
Right, and yes, I did see that. As a matter of fact, my daughter just said, "Well, send you the lady." She's downstairs with the puppy dogs, and she sent me the message saying, "Here's some news we missed." So, driving while you're intoxicated or under the influence of drugs or whatever, not only are you taking a chance of hurting yourself, but so many others. And my goodness, what on earth? And evidently, there was somebody trying to flash, trying to notify the sheriff or whoever incoming traffic would be that there was going to be a problem or something. Did you notice that? I just quickly read it.
There's different stories depending on how much of the investigation. Indiana Public Media said that the reason the driver of the Jeep was putting the flashing lights on is because he noticed the erratic driving behind him and was trying to alert drivers coming the other direction, and that driver coming the other direction was a sheriff's deputy.
And that might just very well have saved his life. I mean, think how bad it would have been if he was going at any kind of a higher
speed. Absolutely.
So, yes, we never know. When the law enforcement officers get out there to do their duty and be out there on duty, and many times even when they're not on duty, but just making sure that they're there to be helpful, they put their lives on the line, and we should always give them, step up to the plate, give them the respect that law enforcement officers deserve.
Did you figure out why, Marty, was so busy, why everybody was at the signing in or the swearing in ceremony?
Well, I wondered if maybe our new sheriff elect was decided to do it in a different fashion, or a way for him to interact with everyone at the same time. I don't know. I thought it was really special, but I don't know the reason for it.
Gotcha.
You know, why it would have happened earlier, but I thought it was absolutely great because they did it outside of the courthouse, and then they lined up the different shifts and took their pictures together, and just that helping them, it seems to me, to feel and to put their faces forward to the public to say, here we are, we're real life people, and we are here to help protect you and provide safety. And that has to be way at the top of our list this year for all the elected officials to understand that the public really wants public safety. They really want to feel safe on the streets and in their homes and when they're out shopping. And so while there are the political battles back and forth about one thing or the other, what we really need to look at, I guess at that point I'm sort of talking about what's going on in D.C. right now, but people in general, they just care about the fact that the cost of living is just getting out of hand, that trying to go to the grocery store is something that is more difficult every time, and they care about that, and they care about feeling safe in their homes, or even safe enough to go get their shopping done. So we owe so much to our law enforcement people and to the people, the fire departments out there during really bad weather, helping us to stay alive. So, and then on top of that, we've got our highway department that we had no, there was ice, there was snow, there were trees, whatever, and the problems that we had with the bad weather, and that continues on as well. So I do know that one of the things I heard from one of the other counties is that they were, or it might have been from a city, helping. Maybe it was the mayor saying he was going to provide money for people to get their CDL license.
Yes,
I do believe it was the mayor who said that yesterday. And that's something I've been suggesting as well for
right.
the highway
because those
department.
Prices are ridiculous.
I mean, just to try to get your
right.
license? And why would anybody spend that kind of money if they're not in some way paid sufficient to make that
yeah, I want to know who set the price at that. That's the crux of the problem. Let's figure out why it costs that much to even be licensed. Who's allowed to get away with that? That's an issue.
That started, what was that, a year and a half ago or something when we knew this was coming down the pike? And about a year ago, we were told by a lot of the advisors that were advising different counties that the ones we needed to make sure that we were covering was the CDL drivers, the jailers, and law enforcement. Those are the three spots where people are having trouble keeping people employed because they can make money quickly someplace else, more money someplace else. And so we have to make sure that what would we do if we couldn't get out the door and safely drive to work or to your next doctor's visit or whatever major thing you're out there to do, and we rely on the drivers there, the CDL drivers, to make it safe for us to get there.
Yeah, I just don't know who decided to put the number at that price on that. That's what it costs to get a license for that. Somebody did it. Somebody approved it, and that's not good.
And we all know it's all about follow the money. So who is getting
Amen.
Paid to, I mean, I guess I'm sort of being a skeptic here, but it makes you think that someone could establish, oh, let me start training such and such, and now I'll get in all this money so I can go train, and let's make it a rule they have to do that. It's sort of like a lot of other training that county governments and different businesses have suddenly started doing because, oh, everybody thought we all needed to be trained on whatever, you name it. And, of course, it's always follow the money who's getting paid to do training.
That's exactly right. Amen. Amen. You said you were busy, just getting home and being busy and meetings going on and everything else. What's happening here in the new year? Everybody is sworn in, ready to go, and here we go.
Right. On the 30th, I was on a meeting with the Indiana County Council legislative group that I'm on. And so that has me geared up for what we're going to be doing very soon. Our next meeting will be next Friday. We're going to start meeting on Fridays at 2 o'clock to go over what legislation is being proposed at the state level and where our county councils throughout the state, where they think they might be on different things. One of the things they're very concerned about is the deputy prosecutor prices, and they're also going to be looking at the food and beverage tax. As we all knew, that was going to be one of the things that would happen. And there's the subcommittees of the judicial and the mental health and broadband. So those are some of the big things that they're going to be looking at. But we know that the state has already indicated that some of their issues that they want to look at. And, you know, all of these things could be very important, but I hope that while we don't know whether or not we're in a recession, we may not be, it may not happen, we have to keep that in mind, that the people paying the taxes for these things are the ones who are out there trying to figure out how they're going to buy the groceries. But what we are looking at locally, we know we're looking at what we are going to do about a jail. The city has turned down the spot that the county had in mind. So they're going to be looking at other places to put this jail. They're also making sure that the commissioners, of course, will be very involved in this to make sure that they are meeting with other people who have jails to see how they're being operated. I know our new sheriff-elect, I had long conversations with him about what he's hoping to see in a jail and the kind of programs he'd like to see and the kind of space he'd like to have in order to provide those services. But, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. And my concern is that we'll be so focused on what's going to happen 2 or 3 years from now that we're not making sure that we are doing all we can to make the jail as safe as we can for the people who are there in that jail until some kind of disposition is made with them, and also with our jailers and the other providers there. So we simply cannot just ignore the fact that the jail needs some money spent on it right now, whether we're moving or we're not moving. And then, of course, I heard.
Did you wait for the sheriff, the new sheriff that's in town? No pun intended. Do you wait for him to give you that? Do you wait for the people that are working in the jail every day for their suggestion? How does this process work, Marty? Because I don't think a lot of people understand how the ball gets rolling.
Right. As far as I think when I spoke with Sheriff Marte while he was still the sheriff-elect, he was trying very respectfully to step back and not be too involved until he was indeed the new sheriff. But I expect that we're going to be hearing from him very soon about different issues there at the jail. What has to happen with the jail? What has to happen with what he wants to happen with the road deputies and so forth, and all of his staff, he'll have the opportunity to weigh in on that. But regardless, the jail is location and all of it is tied to the county commissioners are in charge of building and ground. Now, that doesn't mean that they're in charge of telling the sheriff how to operate the jail, but it does mean that they will be deciding on location and architects, etc. But they have this committee, they're meeting with others and talking about how they want to have it. But so many people on the committee, they really don't want to have a jail. And so we have to be realistic to say that if we have to have a jail, let's at least know that we're building it appropriately for the size of our community. So I do know at the state level there's a big emphasis to do some kind of situation where it could be, it appears what they're saying is something more in tune to looks like treatment or some other way of avoiding putting people in the jail situation. But who really wants to have a mental health facility built in their neighborhood? So that's going to be a big ticket item, if indeed that's what people are talking about. Lots of people don't want that right next to their house. So if that's and also wherever you're going to put the jail, a lot of people want it downtown where it's walkable, where it's closer to where services are available, and it appears that the county commissioners are more in tune to moving it further away from downtown, and so but that really is going to be their decision. Of course, it won't happen if the county council hadn't voted on it, but remember, the county council did go ahead and vote for a certain dollar amount to be spent, thinking at that time that it was going to be the property on Fullerton Pike, but it was written such a way that if they find another property, they can move forward on that, some other property.
Why do you think the city didn't want to zone it, Marty? Do you have any idea on that? I didn't really investigate it, but I saw when it's something zero vote, it seems pretty clear and concise why they didn't.
Well, it appeared to me that we had a lot of people involved in the system that was saying this isn't going to work. We'd really rather have it closer to where services are. We heard that a lot from some of the people in the justice system, in the judges and so forth, and the prosecutor, public defender. But I'm just saying, you know, why weren't they insisting on intense meetings with the commissioners and avoiding going to there wasn't a lot of that kind of pushback. There was some. I'm not saying there wasn't. There was some. But there wasn't the kind of major interest in that before the election. And, of course, by that time, the offer was made on the other property, et cetera. So it's easy for someone to be set back and say, well, this should have happened, that's easier. So I don't mean to be pointing fingers. It's just that once offers are made on a piece of property and then they're coming up and saying, whoa, 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 this won't work.
Yeah, I wouldn't have even said, why would you ask to do it if you knew the vote was going to be 9-0? I mean, it seems like just a colossal waste of time on the rezoning.
Right. I mean, it really was. Now, when you listen to the city planning, and when they were going to sit to the city planning commission, I could understand because there was a split vote on that, and even the ones who voted against allowing it there made it clear that they understood why the county wanted it and that the city council had more leeway in allowing it to happen because they didn't have to follow the same guidelines as the planning commission would have to according to what the established plan was for that ground. And so even after city planning had sent it to the city council, not saying they were in favor, They were saying it with the caveat that they understood the city council could opt to go ahead and do that anyway. But boy, when you listen to the debate, I don't know whether you stayed up all night to listen.
I did
to
not. That's why I have you on, Marty Hawk.
Thanks a lot. But it was just time after time, more commentary. There were a lot of people there just didn't want to jail, period. They were like, we don't want to lock up people. We don't want, you know.
Do you feel that this is perhaps why Mayor Hamilton did not want the CIB to move forward and he wants a 501c3? I know you're not going to put words in his mouth, and I'm not asking you to do so, but we got a lot of voices. We got a lot of opinions. Is this going to be the same thing for the convention center?
Well, let me tell you what. There's a lot of people that don't care a whole lot about what goes on at the convention center. They just don't want to be taxed with food and beverage, and they want to be left alone. I get that. But when we're talking about the jail and what goes on with the jail, and a lot of people, remember before when there was any discussion about it, there was this whole group, I think it was called Decarcerate or something. And they didn't want to build the a parking garage because they thought that was going to be a work release center in the lower area. So there's a whole lot of people in Monroe County who just don't want to see anyone locked up for anything. I mean, I get that. They're not the majority by far, but they are perhaps part of the loudest.
Well, that's usually how that works.
There's a big difference. Yes, right. But I think there was also a lot of business people who said, which they said before, years ago, when they were talking about moving the jail out of downtown. They didn't want to move out of downtown because of just the business reasons. So this is something that will have to be worked out. But let me tell you, this is a whole different cookie than what we have with the convention center, because the convention center, the people who want the convention center, who have hotels downtown, who have restaurants downtown, are going to look at whether or not they want this a whole lot different than if you live someplace out of the way and you don't feel like it's going to be beneficial to you.
I understand all that. I was talking more from a governmental getting things accomplished side. If we're going to run
organizational.
Into, there you go.
Right. Right. And I get that. What the mayor continues to advocate for is, in my opinion, I don't see where it is written in the legislation. They can do what he had hoped for, like he wants to have appointments to the innkeepers. That's state legislation just does not allow that.
Gotcha.
And I don't see how legally you can do an interlocal agreement to dance around the state law. But, you know, I'm not saying they can't, but I think they're asking for a lawsuit to do that. There's enough people who want it and enough people who don't want it that the very least we can do to make sure it happens is to follow the law. Just boom, boom, boom. Do it exactly the way the law says.
Absolutely.
Because if somebody went to the state, some local people went to the state, and I think it was went to talk with Peggy Welch, you know, to get this put in place, the food and beverage money, food and beverage tax. Somebody, other groups of people, went to the state to get the innkeeper's tax, to get it changed from 3% to 2%. Those were all local people that went to state and got this legislation written the way it was written. And so for us to say that we can change it here locally instead of going to the state and getting it changed, if we don't like it, go get it changed. And
gotcha.
If you want to move forward with the way it is, then let's just all of us come together and come to an agreement. Because this is just crazy. Now, I would hope that the city would understand that while they say, we have the money coming in, they only have the money coming in because the county council signed off on it. Now, the county council can withdraw that at any given time if they do not put any kind of debt against it.
Gotcha.
So everybody who wants this ought to be stepping up to the plate to make it work before it just isn't going to happen. Because it's not right to keep taxing people It's like going to be more than $4 million this year coming in, and not provide anything for it.
Yeah, let's get it
going.
Take
that kind of money.
Let's get it
going.
Something. Let's get it going. Go have fun with your daughter. We'll get caught up next Wednesday. You'll have another full list of things to share with us, and we appreciate you doing the extra work and keeping us in tune as 2023 rolls on. Happy New Year. Thank you, Marty.
Thank you. Bye-bye.